For many years now, it has been my deepest desire to cross the sea and go to America together with my wife and our children. Difficult setbacks have prevented the accomplishment of my desire, but I have, however, been able to help many others to reach the land of freedom. I am an old man now, and I sense that my stay here on this side of the river, which we almost cross, is soon to end. I often dwell on what has been. As a young man, I went to Germany to study pharmacy, hoping to be able to help people and to relieve them from suffering and pain. Besides studying chemistry and medicine, I learned about prevailing political ideas, especially among the students. There was talk about revolution in France, that the king has been dethroned, about the republic, and that man is born free and equal. I learned that such thoughts also existed in the land of America. More and more German people crossed the great ocean to go to America, which they called the land of freedom. Ever since those days, my wish has been to act for freedom to speak and act without oppression from rich landowners, the church and the clergy. I felt that it was my calling to help people in distress, and I worked in Denmark for several years. But when cholera broke out in Vadstena, I was back in Sweden, and I was able to help many people there. I didn't fear the disease, but I trusted in God and in my medical knowledge. In 1835, I had a royal concession to open my own pharmacy in a small town called Kisa. The area, called Kinda, was beautiful with the hilly landscape and many small lakes. The soil was rich, and there were many farms and crofts where farmhands, maids, and even children toiled for the landowners. But the one big threat and danger was liquor boiler. The crops were turned into alcohol, and the oppressed drank to forget their miserable conditions. Many rich landowners also owned distilleries, and truth is that poor, dulled, and uninformed people were easy to oppress. The barn is the mother of the land, but in Kinda area the soil was depleted because of shortage of manure. The crofters could not support their large families. One dark and cold autumn evening, the coldest anyone could remember, a short man in his 50s entered my pharmacy. He said that his youngest daughter had a terrible cough and asked if I could mix him strong medicine. "Well, yes, if it's only a cough," I answered. But then I couldn't help asking if there was wood for a fire and food in the house, or too much alcohol. The short man with steel blue eyes, sparse hair, and a small goat beard stared at me and shouted, "What? Alcohol is not drunk in Bjerkeryd. Do you not know who I am? I am Peter Kessel, a trusted man." While I was mixing the medicine, we started talking. The alcohol, the church and clergy, the oppression, the desire for freedom. Yes, in the heat of discussion, we had left the pharmacy and walked all the way to his farm, Bjerkeryd. It wasn't until we were standing outside the house that I felt freezing cold. I had forgotten to put on both hat and coat. Mrs. Castle, who was waiting on the steps, invited me for an evening meal. And I could also help the little girl with a healing herbal plaster on a chest and some drops of strong medicine. When later the farmhand drove me back in the cold night, and I sat in the horse carriage, I felt that I had met a man who thought like me, a man who shared my ideas, a man with a longing for freedom, also thinking of the country on the other side of the ocean, America. Several years later, Mr. Castle was ready to go to the new country. He had prepared himself, studied the English language, and acquired tools needed for breaking the new land. His parents-in-law had bought the farm, Bjerkeryd. He had finally gathered a group of 21 people, relatives and friends, who were ready to embark on the long adventurous journey across water and land. And he asked me to come to Bjerkeryd to say farewell. When we parted, he thanked me with a firm handshake for the small loan I had given him. And he promised me on his honor to pay me back as soon as he had broken new land, and so enable me to come after with my family. On a sunny May morning in the year of 1845, I saw his carriage disappear in the distance, in the tunnel of leaves on the trees lining the driveway. Mr. Castle's group was the first to leave Chisa for America, but many were to follow in their footsteps. The following spring, my own son, Julius Adolf, joined the second group to go. After that, more and more people came to ask me for assistance with getting the documents needed for crossing the big Atlantic Ocean. I was glad to be of help, sometimes even with a small loan. In time, my pharmacy was referred to as the Emigrants Bureau, and it was the first of its kind in Sweden. Peter Castle and I never met again, but in his letters he described the new country and his settlement in the territory of Iowa, which he called New Sweden. He called it the land of Canaan and described it like paradise on earth. But I also know that other people describe their situation in America as very difficult and even miserable. Nevertheless, Peter Castle paid back every penny of his loan, and my son received the sum during his short stay in America. As for myself, I heard people calling me the political apothecary due to my ideas of freedom and human rights. I made enemies in rich circles, but I continued helping people from the Kinda area to emigrate. All the time, also, my own longing was to go to the land in the West, the land of freedom. Now I'm 70 years old, and in spite of my age, if there were no hindrance, I wouldn't hesitate to move over to Australia or the free states in the company of honorable and powerful persons.